It's because we're allowed to put people into this cattle fucking market, basically, of a one-size-fits-all service. And all I'm ever advocating is, at least give me the choice of a review in 6 months. Because how do you know that I don't absolutely value my health enough to want that? You don't even offer it to me, right? Partly because you've been schooled by a system that doesn't understand that the job of a healthcare professional, first and foremost, is to give me the options for treatment and then help me decide which one's best. Fundamental, most basic job of a healthcare professional.
This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me.
If somebody didn't turn up for work the next day, how would you feel? Somebody didn't turn up for work on Monday, how would you feel? Relieved? If so, probably tells you what you need to do. If it was, oh shit, I'd be in trouble. Probably tells you what you need to do. Two different paths that you'd walk down. Any more? Have the conversations behind closed doors. Yeah. Yeah, but don't be frightened. Don't be frightened to have them. Don't be frightened to have the conversations. And get very clear on what your job is. And when you do get clear on what your job is and what you really have to do to run the business properly, you don't shy away from those type of conversations. I had one recently with my head of sales, and the question was, if this relationship breaks down in the next 6 months, why would that be? If this relationship between me and you breaks down in the next 6 months, why is that going to happen? It's called a pre-mortem, right? What most people do is a post-mortem on their business. This is where it went wrong. I'm becoming more a fan of a pre-mortem. If this is going to break down, Phil, where's it going to break down? If you're not still here in 12 months, why would that be? As we look into the future, what possible one, two, or three things might go wrong? And again, when you hear it, you think, well, that's just negative, or that's not a, you know, it's not a typical question or a conversation you'd have. And that's the point. Because really then what happens is you get time to think about if this is going to go wrong, right? It's going to be at the standards levels. It's going to be at the expectations levels. It's going to be at the cultural level. It's going to be at the attitude level, right? Now let's have a conversation about that just to make sure I set my expectations for what the standards need to be. And do you think you can keep up? And if so, do you need some help? Or if not, do you want some help from me? It gets you on the same page and it stops the gap between you getting too big. What else? Takeaways, what did you write down?
Sure, there's a playbook for the most important
20%. Run the playbook 20%. It doesn't need to be perfect. Don't obsess over. The problem with fast-growing businesses is the playbook is always out of date. It's always out of date, right? So don't obsess over it. Just make sure that the most critical key processes are in play. And if you've hired the right person, they can probably come in and figure the rest out for themselves anyway. Any more? Everyone's stealing from you. Everybody's going to steal from you, right? Let's just start there. And if you start there, it at least gets you a little paranoid about the fact that they could be. I'd rather you live more paranoid about that than probably anything else. Not in a way that it consumes you. Now, there's a difference, by the way. There's a difference between being logical about it and having a conversation and being open to the idea that it could happen and being paralyzed with fear about not giving somebody access to your bank account. Because that's where most people live. Most people live with the fear that grips them and has them sucked into a chain of thinking that they cannot get out. Have you ever tried to outthink feeling shitty? And have you ever won? When was the last time you outthunk feeling bad? You can't. Right, again, another thing where people go wrong. They try to outthink how bad they feel. So they feel bad, and then they start to think about why they feel bad. And they come up with more ideas about why they feel bad, and then they can't figure out why. The fact that they've thought about the fact that they feel bad, they still feel bad. And all of the focus is on feeling bad. You can think yourself into being happy, but you can't think yourself out of a funk. Where most people get when they start to think about bad things is emotional. where they don't make good decisions. They get stuck in that rut. And everything comes from that place of fear. What I'm advocating is the complete opposite, that we consider these things that might happen, have the confidence to know that if and when they do, we're ready for it. And it's not going to take us over to here to get stuck in this cycle of negative thoughts. It's the complete opposite. It's the antidote, if you like, to the negative thinking. It's practical paranoia, as I call it. Any more? If you really understand, I think what I'm trying to get at when you think like this, it allows you to be the best version of yourself. So rather than it being a thing that consumes you and constantly negative, because you are open to the idea that things could go wrong, and you do have a little bit of an idea that you can deal with it if it does, it allows you to live a little bit more freely and loosely in other areas of your life. Because most people are losing it at the, if it goes wrong, I don't think I can deal with it level of life. If this happens to me in business, I don't think I could cope. If this happens to me in life, I don't think I could go on. And if you have a little bit of an idea about it, that you would be all right, well, it actually allows you to have more fun in your life, because the majority of it is going to be all right, right? That's the other idea. The majority of you, you've had the phrases and the analogies, I'm sure. I've had a I've had a lot of problems in my life. Most of them never ever happened. Do you get it? I've had a great many problems in my life. Most of them never actually happened to me. And the idea is that you carry the whole thing around you with you for 80 odd years of your life. So the problems are up there, but they actually don't really ever come to fruition. Now, I'm advocating that most of life is pretty sweet. It's pretty all right. Where it goes wrong is that we get consumed by the fear of it happening and not being able to cope if and when it does. So why don't we just put that to bed? If you put some of that to bed and have a contingency for the thing that goes wrong, it actually allows you to really enjoy and embrace the things, such as running a business, having some fun, having a smile on your face, and being the person that you're probably capable of being. And in doing so, probably attract more patients, probably attract better staff, probably have better relationships with people around you, keep your energy, keep your focus, stay strong, tenacious, courageous, be the person that you're probably capable of being, which in the end will determine how successful you are anyway. Following? Good. All right, second part. Retaining existing customers. What are we doing? You're losing clients because of something. Let's start here. You're losing clients because of something. What is it? Start there. Let's not think about getting any more customers till we figure out why we're losing the ones we've got. Even if it's right down to, we do a good service for people, we give them a good plan of care, but they go off into the wilderness and we never see them again for 5 years. We've technically lost them. We've lost them because they're not on the schedule. We were talking yesterday and it came right at the end of the day. What was the phrase I used? It was, what, can you remember, about the how we keep them on schedule? When would you like to book? When would you like to book your follow-up? So at the end of the treatment, the six sessions is over, or the seven sessions is over. When can I get you scheduled for your review? But, and it just keeps them on schedule. And it could be 6 months, it could be 9 months. When can I get you scheduled for your free review? Imagine if you inserted a free review to every single patient in your clinic right now. It would be insane. And the idea is that you just keep somebody on the diary, on the calendar. One single question asked to every patient at the end of the plan of care: when would you like to schedule your 6 month free review? What impact, I wonder? What do you think? Yeah, I think that's a continuous ongoing thing that happens from the marketing, from the first phone call, from the evaluation. You can't just drop it on somebody at the end. That, like, this is a walk and talk and live and breathing way of running a business, that much like with the dental office, you don't go in and get your teeth done and then that's it. You don't need to come back. It's helping people see that there is another choice. We went through this yesterday. You and I, we've all been schooled, right? And don't take this the wrong way. Living over there in the US, right, has its yin and its yang for healthcare. The yin is you pay for it. The yang, it's fucking unbelievable, right? Non-negotiable. It is fantastic. If you're going to get an illness, you want to be over there, right? But you might have to sell your house. But you'll probably still be alive, right? Or you'll have more chance of being alive. Here, broadly speaking, you're shuttled into one way of doing something. You've got this problem, And if you're in this postcode, you're going to get this type of treatment, right? Sounds brutal, but it's not far off what goes on. In physio, you've got this problem, you'll be shuttled into this one way of getting the treatment that you want. You'll be put into this queue to see this doctor to get this type of cancer treatment, right? My brother's going through it right now with lymphoma. This is the treatment that we're going to do, right? I spoke to people in the US and they're like, is that it? That's all they're offering? What about this, 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 and this? Well, we don't get that over here. Like, you're not even allowed to consider that that might be an option here, right? So we can slag the system off, or we can love the system, but everything has a yin and a yang. If I had a real serious illness, I'm on a flight and I'm flying over there and I'm fucking mortgaging the house to get it looked at, right? Seriously. It is a completely different level of care. You're just going to have to pay for it. The point I'm raising is that you and I have all been schooled on that same system where there isn't any patient choice. It doesn't exist in the United Kingdom, whichever way we dress it up. So the problem we've got in the system that we've been schooled in is that there's one way of thinking about what a physio does. We've all been schooled to think that there's just this path, that when you go into physio, you get some pain relief, you get your ankle touched for 3 sessions, you get your exercises, and then you get out. In the NHS, you go in, you have an assessment, they're probably not allowed to touch you, you get a letter through the post 3 days later from some exercises from physio tools printed in 1981, and that's your physio. That's the mindset that sadly this country has when it comes to physio. They don't know another choice exists, right? And I don't know if many healthcare providers are even open to the idea that what our job is, and this is where I'm going with it, I fundamentally believe my job as a healthcare professional is not to get you better. It starts with giving you the choices of what's available to you. If I get that right, I've probably done the best thing that I can do for you. If I steamroller you into a one-size-fits-all way of doing business, I don't know if I've done my job. I've done what I've been coached or schooled to do by the system, which was get them in, put them on this path, and get them out as fast as possible, which is every way we look at it is the way you've been schooled. And the way physio exists is as little treatment as possible, as a holistic approach to it as possible, which is called for, don't get them addicted or coming back to seeing you, and let them figure it out for themselves, because we haven't got room on the waiting lists for people who want real fucking treatment, right? So you go over here and you think, well, if my job fundamentally is to give you the best access to care or the best choices, I have to start to talk to you about what you might want for yourself. And this was a conversation we had at length yesterday in front of my physios, that the mistake that I think we all make in healthcare, and it's the simple shift for all of you, is to move from going, this is what you're getting, to who are you? I'll say that again. This is what you're getting, who are you? Right? And what that means is, you cannot treat me the same way as somebody else who doesn't value their health. Right? And even though they're in your treatment room, I'm one of many people, if you give me the choice of a better option for my outcome or different types of treatment from yourself, I'd buy it. And my point is, the only reason that they don't is because you're not offering it to me and you're not speaking to me in a way that allows me to decide for myself what version of your treatment I want. So back to the point. On the conversation yesterday, when would you like to book your review? Why don't we do that? Do dentists do it to you? Every fucking time for 40 years. So why is it acceptable over here, right? For these, unless I'm planning on not drinking tea, eating sugar and eating anything and zipping my mouth up for the next however many years of my life, I'm sure as shit getting decay in these teeth. I'm sure as shit getting decay in my knees, my back, my hips, my ankles and every other aspect of my joint, right? So why are we allowed to have that type of relationship with a patient when we know full well that this shit's going to go on in their lives all day, every day? It's because we're allowed to put people into this cattle fucking market, basically, of a one-size-fits-all service. And all I'm ever advocating is, give me the choice. at least give me the choice of a review in 6 months. Because how do you know that I don't absolutely value my health enough to want that? Right? And it breaks down into the treatment session as simple as this. I've looked at your back and I've concluded that you've got sciatica. Paul, there are two ways I can solve this problem. One, we can take the knackered old Ford, nobody's got a Ford Fiesta. We can take a knackered old Ford Fiesta route to the destination. It's not going to be the best, but it'll be all right. It'll get you there. Or I can get you in a Phantom Rolls Royce and take you to that destination. Which one do you want? How would you like to get there? Just over the line? All right, it's fine. A little bit of treatment, bit of this, bit of that. You'll be out the door. It won't be amazing, but it'll be okay. Or do you want me to do this thing properly? Who are you, Steve? What do you want?
Give me the Rolls Royce.
Of which 8 out of 10 will ask for the Rolls Royce. Guaranteed every single time. I can't believe the level of thinking that goes on sometimes. And I blasted my physios again, almost yesterday. I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, I take it personally. Who the fuck are you to tell me that that's what I need? Like, oh, that's the only thing that's available to me. Like, I don't dress like this, right? I could walk into your clinic with a cap on back to front, some bent to shit, a pair of shorts on, and me flip-flops. And I'd probably walk down. Right, and if I sit in your clinic and you assume that I can't afford or I don't care about my health based upon how I look, what does that say about you? It says more about you than it does me. Do you get it? You're making assumptions on me based upon how I look or what you think I might want or that I've got no money. So you don't even offer me the Rolls Royce. You don't even offer it to me, right? Partly because you've been schooled by a system that doesn't understand that the job of a healthcare professional, first and foremost, is to give me the options for treatment and then help me decide which one's best. Fundamental, most basic job of a healthcare professional. Who are you? Particularly if I'm paying. Fair enough in the NHS because I don't have choice and I can't really do much. This is the problem. But you're running a private practice where people are paying. Give them the you're in the United States' model. Give them the choice, because if you don't, they're fucking going somewhere else. He's in Texas. If he doesn't like the prescription he's getting off his doctor, he's going to Denver to find another one. That's no exaggeration. I don't like what you've just said. If I'm paying for it, I'm going somewhere else. And that's the mentality of the health. It has to be shit hot over there, because people won't accept trash. They'll go to the best provider if it means they fly 5 hours for a 2-hour appointment. This is no exaggeration. They fly the equivalent to Egypt and back on the same day to see physios. Does that blow your brains a little? It should do, because it's happening every single day. LA to New York, 5 hours. London to Egypt, there and back in the same day, red eye, to see physios, because they're the best. Because they give them the thing that they want. Now, what I'm advocating is, the reason that we're probably losing customers is because you treat them all the same. You will lose me. And I'll go and find a provider who treats me in the way that I want to be treated. Not according to how much money I've got, according to how much I value my health. I'll sacrifice this over here to have this. I won't go for the meal next weekend because I'd rather have the proper session, Phil. Don't put me in the back door with everybody else, whether I've got money or I haven't. Because the people with money might not value their health. And probably could be true. The people without money might. But they'll figure out a way to get it. Because they'll just give up on something else elsewhere. I'm encouraging you to go with that model. Because it's just the right thing to do. Who are you? Who? Do you want this? Because you care about your health and you want to spend some money on it. Or you don't care about your health and you just want this thing over the line. I'd stand in front of every physio clinic in Britain without a bulletproof vest and them all having a gun, and I'd tell them all to their face that 99.9% of people are putting them in knackered old Ford Fiestas and giving them average levels of service in comparison to what is really available. Because you won't give me the choice as to what I want. You're putting me into a one-size-fits-all level of doing business. And it doesn't work. It's killing your company. It's killing the patient care. It's killing the outcomes. It's probably killing the reputation of physio. which is why people are so confused with what we do. Everybody gets put in the same fucking cattle market as everybody else. Have a few sessions and see how it goes. It's bollocks. Let me decide who I am and whether I want to pay a bit more to get a lot more from you. That's the mindset you've got to bring to the clinic. So it's not a tactical way of doing it. It's not a script that you're after. It's an ethos, a bubble wrap that you put around your business. We're not here to tell you what to do. First and foremost, we're here to tell you what you've done wrong and then give you a couple of choices to fix it based upon fundamentally who you are. If you love your health and you value it, take this one. If you don't and you just want this over the line, take this one. I don't give a shit either way. But my job is to tell you that both choices exist. How has it never been like that? How have we been brainwashed so much that that isn't the best way to run a private practice? I mean, it's going to get worse. I'm not even going on the vaccine thing, whether you like it or you don't, whatever, right? Now the nurses in the US, they're not even allowed to tell you whether it's good or bad. It's just fucking have it. They're breaking a fundamental rule. A fundamental rule. They're not even allowed to discuss it as to whether or not it's a good option for them. That's where it's rotten at that level. That will come back to haunt society. That you've took away the fundamental right of a healthcare professional to at least discuss the options, whether this is good or whether this is bad. Doctors, nurses are losing their jobs because they're even having the discussion as to whether it's good or bad. And that is the fundamental thing that we're all built on. If I lose trust in healthcare or doctors and I don't feel like I'll just stay away. And that's what people are going to start doing. People, this will be a disaster in the next 5 to 10 years for the trust in healthcare, whether you like the vaccine or not. It will be an absolute decade of disaster for people who won't go to doctors or stop trusting them. That's going to be some consequence coming down the line. But you take it back fundamentally to what we're about. Who are you? If my physios can't do that, right? If Kayla can't get the physios to do that, or the front desk to live that, why are we even in business? That's what you want.
We're talking Rolls Royce to Ford Fiesta.
If you want it, it doesn't matter. The tactical application of it is irrelevant. If you want the fucking Audi, I'll figure out the Audi version. What I'm saying is, principally, choice exists based upon who you are. Because the dude who sits next to you probably doesn't care as much as you do. So let me just figure it out and just ask, who are you? We've all been in the United Kingdom brainwashed into this one size fits all, no patient choice, really, when it all said and done. You take what we've been and put it over there, my God, they it keeps them awake at night when I tell them what this fucking system's like. Horrifying. Don't get me wrong, car crash, heart attack, best country in the world. Everything else, shit show. By and large, critical, best, non-negotiable. Everything else, if you're still alive, it's going to be painful. Right? The choice is ultimately what the patients want, I think. And that's what we're getting at here. It's up to you, take it or leave it. But I'm not sure how it works when we're all putting them into a 3 or 4, whatever, 2 sessions here, 2 sessions there. Just ask them the simple question, who are you? In a roundabout way. How much do you value your health? Because if you value it a lot, I can do this. If you don't, let's just do this. I'm not here to fight with you. I'm not here to sell to you. I'm just here to ask, who are you? How can any of us not be capable of doing that? And how is it not the right thing to do? How do you like your steak cooked? Imagine, there's your steak. It's equivalent, there's your fucking steak. Well, what steak do you want? Fillet? Sirloin? T-bone? I want the fillet. I've saved a year for this. I want the most expensive one, cooked absolutely perfectly. Don't railroad me into a sirloin. But if I've got no money, I'll have the sirloin. Or if I don't really like steaks and I'm just in the restaurant, I'll have a sirloin. Is that not how you live? Why not do it in the business? I don't know if that answers your question. There isn't a tactic in any of this. I think under the banner of how do we retain more customers? Give them the choice. Let them decide what they want. What else? You're losing clients because of something you're not doing. And often, you're diametrically opposed. And what that means is if you're really good at finance, you're probably not very good at marketing. If you're really good at marketing, you're probably not very good at ops. If you're very good at ops, you might not be brilliant at customer service, right? There's a yin and a yang to everything. And what you find is you could be losing customers because you have a really strong thing going on over here, but not a good thing going on over here. And it starts with confirming what you're really good at and then asking what's the complete opposite to that. Marketers are usually very good at service because they understand people. The trained marketer is an emotional, empathetical, deep understanding of what motivates a human being, right? So that translates to customer service. You ask Lee to do the customer service for the business and we might be in trouble, right? Because it'll all be numbers. It'll all be logical, digital, on, off. There won't be necessarily a deep understanding, compassionately, empathetically, as to what makes a customer's day. So start to think about that right now, which is what we're going to do for 20 minutes. Have a think about what are you doing to retain customers, but start with, why are you losing customers? And I wonder if some of you are losing customers because you're treating me all the same. You're treating us all the same. There isn't a pathway for me to take. I can't be the same as Bill sat next to me. You can't treat me the same. You have to talk to me differently and let me choose where I want to go. If you do, I'll love you forever and I'll never go anywhere else because no fucker else gets this. Everybody else has just put me in a shoebox and treat me exactly the same. Make sense?
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @thepaulgough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.